Hello and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm Dean Welty, and sorry to say, Rita Dunaway is on a special assignment, but nevertheless, we have a great guest to join us, and I'll be introducing him in just a minute as we talk about the need for a new Christian awakening in America. Our guest is, first of all, a great personal friend and also a favorite guest of our Crossroads program, including a series of Decision America programs last fall in which we previewed the presidential election. Yes, you've probably guessed it. It is Bishop E.W. Jackson, well known throughout the Valley for his frequent appearances with the Valley Family Forum as a candidate for the U.S. Senate in 2012, and then again in 2013 as a candidate for Lieutenant Governor of Virginia when he won 70% of the vote in Rockingham and Augusta counties. Bishop Jackson is a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard Law School graduate, a pastor, and the founder and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny. More than that, he is a powerful champion for our Judeo-Christian heritage, for our constitutional principles, and for our God-ordained rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the Valley, throughout Virginia, and across America. In fact, that is why we presented him with our prestigious Daniel Award at our annual Celebration of God and Country dinner in 2014. Only 2.5 years ago, Bishop Jackson. So, again, Bishop Jackson, welcome to Crossroads.
Well, thank you so much, Dean. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, and I'm going to start with our first question for you. And I know this is a question for our listeners. Stand. That is S period, T period, A period, N period, and D period, stand. So what do you mean, staying true to America's national destiny? What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, Dean, for me, it means that America's destiny is in God. That, in fact, Dean, we have added to, my organization has now added to Donald Trump's litany of things he wants to do for America. He talked about make America great again, make America safe again, make America rich again. We want to make America Christian again. America was founded as a Christian nation. Now, we know that legally we don't have an official denomination, and you and I and no Christian wants that. We don't have any official sort of form of religious observance that we require of people, and we shouldn't. But culturally, we are a Christian nation. We always have been. We're not Muslim, we're not Hindu, we're not Buddhist. We are overwhelmingly Christian people. That's our orientation, even for those who don't go to church. So the first part of that is that America's destiny is in God. America's fate is held in the hands of God. And George Washington and John Adams and Patrick Henry and even Thomas Jefferson all acknowledged that without religion, to which they were referring to Christianity, without religion and morality, America cannot be a successful and prosperous nation. And so to the extent that we have been, thank God, we've been because we have been a godly nation. And so that to me is the essential part of the destiny. And then out of that comes freedom and prosperity and opportunity and hope and the ability to pursue one's God-given gifts and talents and abilities to wherever they will take you. But God is the foundation, Dean, and that, to me, is the most essential part of America's destiny if we're going to reach those other parts.
Well, Bishop, we've had this conversation before, but if you could just review it for us. I know that you've had, and many of us have had, some very deep concerns about the direction of America, and I would say particularly in the last 8 years, to be very frank about it. And like you, I believe, we've talked about this. We have been facing a strong headwind for the last 8 years against those great Judeo-Christian values and constitutional principles. And right now, and I hope I'm not being too Pollyannish here, instead of facing that strong headwind, I feel a gentle breeze at our back. How is it with you?
Well, you know, Hosea chapter 8 talks about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. Dean, I would say the last 8 years, we faced a whirlwind. Because when enough of the American people sowed the wind of voting for President Barack Obama. Let's just put it right where it belongs. Now, look, we know he didn't start this, but he certainly accelerated it. We sowed that wind. We have been reaping for the last 8 years the whirlwind. And indeed, it goes to some very, very fundamental things. I was just reading this morning, for example, 8 states are fighting the president and gotten an injunction against him because he issued regulations under Medicare and Obamacare ordering doctors to perform transgender operations on children and ordering surgeons to perform operations against their own religious convictions and beliefs. Now, all of this grows out of this idea that we don't need God in the picture, and without God, you have no absolutes, and without absolutes, you have moral chaos. And so, from the president's perspective, and many like him, there is no male or female. That's just something you and I kind of made up, and, you know, we kind of matriculated people into it. But the Bible says, in the beginning, God made them male and female. So that's just another example of what happens when you walk away from God as a culture and you walk away, therefore, from truth. Then you're left to sort of make it up as you go along. And what you end up with is moral chaos. People, as the Bible says, I think at the end of the book of Judges, every man being a law unto himself. That's not what the founding fathers envisioned. They envisioned a nation of moral consensus, a nation of personal virtue, that self-governance begins with self, and that you are respectful of God, respectful of others, respectful of the lawful authority of government, and therefore we have an internal peace and prosperity in our country because we're not tearing each other apart. When you throw all of that out, right is only made by might. And might is the force of government being used to force people, which is what the Obama administration did. Their final day is trying to force people to conform against their own consciences to what the government is ordering them to do. And so that's the struggle we've been in for the last 8 years, from same-sex marriage to unfettered abortion to all of this crazy opposition against Israel to acting like there's no problem with Islam. Oh, that's just Islamophobic to even think that there's any issue with Islam. The terrorism has nothing to do with Islam. In other words, we've been asked to deny reality. And you know, Ronald Reagan used to say, never be afraid to see what you see. Well, we've been told by this administration for the last 8 years, what you see is not what you see. See what we tell you to see, not what's really there. And thank God in this last election, the American people awakened from that and realized this has been a terrible journey we've been on and we've got to change course.
Well, Bishop, you mentioned two scriptures that I think are so relevant to us today. You mentioned Judges, the last verse where it says there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in his own eyes. Just the situation where we are today. And then you mentioned Hosea. I love that reference to the whirlwind. And in that same section, it says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that really brings me back to a new theme that you have just unveiled for your organization, Staying True to America's National Destiny. And you call it a Christian awakening in America. Now, that takes us back to two other awakenings that we've had in the mid-1700s that brought us independence, in the mid-1800s that brought us emancipation for the slaves. But that title intrigues me. Are you suggesting, by referring to a Christian awakening, that Christians have been asleep and need to be reawakened?
Oh, there is no question about that. We have been, and we've been asleep in several ways. First of all, we have, over a period of time, and I think we've had help in doing this. I think, you know, bad education and indoctrination and this false concept of separation of church and state has made Christians violate the very principles upon which the nation was based. When America was founded, it was expected that Christians and pastors and churches would be fully engaged in the debate, even engaged in the Revolutionary War to win our freedom. I mean, most of us, I'm sure, listening to this program are familiar with John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg and the famous sermon that he preached on January 21, 1776, where he stood up and told Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and told his congregation, there's a time for peace and a time for war. This is the time for war. and took off his robes, and under it had a militia uniform on, and recruited 300 people out of his congregation, 300 men out of his congregation to follow him into battle. This is who we are as Americans. Christians have not been in the background, and we've certainly not been on the sideline. We've been in the forefront of the effort to fulfill the great vision and dream for America that God gave our founding fathers, and that all of us who understand that hold dear. And so this idea that, oh, no, Christians shouldn't be involved, that's politics, we don't want to, you know, how can you be salt if you're not out of the shaker? And how can you be light, as Jesus said, if you're hidden under a basket? You've got to permeate every aspect of life, and that certainly includes public life, particularly in a country, Dean, where you've been given the privilege by Almighty God of actually helping to choose the people who will serve you in government. And to me, I've said this many times, I think it shocks some people, but to me, to have that opportunity, to be given that gift by God, and to then not exercise it, to me, is a sin against God. It's saying, yeah, I know you gave me that, but you know what? I don't really care about it, and I'm throwing that back in your face. I really believe it just that strongly, Dean, that Christians must be involved. And to that extent, to the extent that we've been convinced, oh, no, that's not our job, we don't want to do it, we have been lulled into a deep sleep. But thank God this election and all the work that you do and that I do and so many others like us do, I think, is now awakening the church again.
Well, Bishop, I know you've traveled all across America talking to so many people, and particularly talking to churches. I'm reminded of that carving on the back of George Washington's chair at the Constitutional Convention. Ben Franklin noticed it, and he said, you know, and this was near the end of the convention, he said, I have always wondered, is that carving of the sun on the back of George Washington's chair, is that sun rising or setting on America? How do you see it, Bishop?
Well, you know, I follow God and believe deeply in his love for us and believe deeply that America is a providential nation. I believe, Dean, that the sun is rising for America, and it's rising for America, as I said before, because of you and people like you all across this country who love God, love our nation, and are willing to stand in the gap. You know, God said, I look for a man to stand in the gap before me in behalf of the land. I found none. But I think there are millions who are prepared to stand in the gap. And I think not necessarily because we deserve it, because there hadn't been enough of us who have been willing, but because of God's mercy, I really do believe that the sun is rising on America. This election, I think, is a great reprieve. Now, the one thing, Dean, I would sound this note of caution, is that Christians cannot now assume, everything's fine now, we're back on track. Oh, no, we're not. We got a long, long way to go, and we better fight just as if we lost that election, just as if we had someone who hated everything we stand for in office. I mean, we got to fight for those principles, because the media, the entertainment industry, the universities and colleges, the public schools, so many institutions are trying to move the country in a secular atheist direction, that we still got a major battle on our hands. But I'm absolutely convinced that we're going to win.
Well, Bishop, just one more point on that, particularly with regard to churches. Do you see a reawakening of the church across America?
Dean, I wish I could say unequivocally there's a massive awakening going on. I can't, but I can say this. I'm definitely seeing signs of it.
Yes.
Look, I can't tell you the number of times, Dean, that pastors have come up to me or deacons have come up to me in my travels, and I know this has undoubtedly happened for other people too, and said, you know what, I'm so glad that I came because you woke me up.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to my church and I'm going to do things differently. I mean, I've seen that again and again, and I've met people who said, you know, 2 years ago I wasn't involved. Now I realize I can't not be involved. So yes, something is happening.
Good.
I think we're getting a steady drip, 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 and I'm looking for the dam to break completely and for the church to just spill out all over America.
Well, I join you with that. And as you, we also hear these objections. Well, you can't legislate morality. That's one. The separation of church and state, and churches shouldn't get involved in politics. They should just focus on evangelism and preaching the gospel. Well, you've heard that too. And it is important. We're not diminishing that. But we're saying you also need to get engaged in the public square. But Bishop, we don't have a lot of time left, but I know that you have listed six core fundamentals of that Christian awakening. I know we could spend an entire program of each one of those, but I'd like to go through that list and then ask you to give a brief comment on each one separately. So let's start with number one. The first fundamental you've listed is love of God and country. Now, that seems pretty broad. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, of course, I said a little earlier, America is a Christian nation. We need to make America Christian again. And that's where it begins. I mean, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. I tell people, I deeply love my country. I don't worship America. I worship God. But I love America because I believe that America is a gift from Almighty God to us as its citizens. And I think, like you cherish any gift, Dean, if you give me a gift or I give you a gift, because we're friends, we're going to cherish that. We're going to take care of it. We're going to maybe put it somewhere where we can be reminded of it. Well, we ought to cherish our country because I believe it's a gift that God gave us. And if we love him, we really ought to love America.
Well, to add to that, Bishop, you mentioned make America great again, make America safe again. I have worn a badge that says make America good again. And I think that's what you're referring to when you talk about making America Christian again. That is the way, the only way, to make America good again. Well, let's move to the second one. You say the second one is a respect for religious liberty. Can you expand on that for us?
Sure. You know, people seem to have forgotten that our founding fathers and the Pilgrims, the Puritans, they came here looking to worship God without being hamstrung by the dictates of a king or a government. They wanted to come and freely worship God as they saw fit. That's the founding motivation that brought many Americans to the shores of this continent in the very first place. Now we're in a situation where people are telling us that you don't have religious liberty to say, I don't want to perform a gay wedding. You don't have religious liberty to say, I don't want to perform an abortion. I believe these things are sinful in the sight of God. I don't want to participate. That's exactly what they came here to. The original Americans came here to avoid. That's what they came here to escape. We've got to come back to that. There's nothing in the Constitution about abortion, in spite of what the Supreme Court said. There's nothing in the Constitution about same-sex marriage, in spite of what some justices say. But there is definitely something in the Constitution about religious liberty. It's called the First Amendment.
Yes.
And it's first because without that, freedom of conscience, freedom of worship, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, you don't have any other freedom that makes any sense.
You nailed it. Let's go on to the third one. We only have a minute for the following one. So the third one you mentioned is free market economics.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, I don't believe that heaven is a capitalist, you know, arrangement.
Right.
But I believe that capitalism is, and free market economics is the best system here because it allows deans for people to make free choices with their fellow Americans. And that's what it's all about. It's not about greed. It's about the freedom to choose how I want to expend the benefits of my work, of what I earn, what I want to do with it. And we've got to preserve that. And right now, there are people trying to push us towards socialism, and history has proven that socialism ends very, very badly for everybody but the elites who are in control of it.
And moving right along to the fourth one, strong national defense, a fundamental that you're pursuing.
Well, Dean, I'm a Christian, and I love everybody. I mean, I love people who aren't Americans just like I love people who are. But I took an oath when I joined the United States Marine Corps to the Constitution of the United States to preserve, protect, and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I believe that just as you and I, Dean, are peace-loving men, if somebody were to break into our home and try to hurt us or hurt our family members, they would find out that underneath the desire for peace is a lion that is prepared to defend what I know God has given me responsibility for. And we're responsible for America. And, Dean, it's a dangerous world. It's a vicious world. We've got to be prepared to defend our country, and we ought to have the strongest military in the world without any question, because George Washington said that the best way to assure peace is to be prepared for war.
And the fifth one, Bishop, is probably related to that. The fifth one is secure borders.
Yeah, absolutely. There are people who think that America's illegitimate, just like they're trying to make this last election illegitimate. They believe America's illegitimate. We stole the land from the Indians. We stole land from the Mexicans. And these are often people on the left who really think we don't have any right to have borders, that people ought to be able to come here because they didn't decide to, and we have no say in the matter. But that would mean we're not a sovereign nation. Well, we are a sovereign nation. We have a right to control our borders. We have a right to determine who comes and who does not. That is not anti-Hispanic. It is not anti-Canadian. It is not anti-European or anti-African. It is pro-American. And we want people to come to our country who love America and want to be a part of our country, not people who come because they think there's an opportunity for them here and they're going to come in violation of our laws. That's just not acceptable. And nobody should be rewarded for that, no matter how justified they feel in doing it.
Finally, Bishop, I actually have one more beyond this, but the sixth one that you mentioned is the protection of unborn human life. You've already touched on that. I just wonder if you could explain a little bit more your passion for that.
Well, Dean, our founding fathers said that God gave us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not government, but we're endowed by our Creator. Well, without life, Dean, there's no liberty and there's no pursuit of happiness. It is the most fundamental value. It is the most fundamental issue. And if we can't get that one right, this is why I'll never support a candidate who is not pro-life, because I don't care what you tell me about economics or anything else. If you can't get that one right, I don't trust you to get anything right.
Amen.
And so we've got to protect the unborn lives of children. They deserve to live the same way we do.
Well, and we often say here, Bishop, that unless a candidate understands that life begins at conception and we have a responsibility to protect that life until natural death, they do not deserve our trust. They do not deserve our vote. We say the same thing about marriage. If he or she doesn't understand that marriage is between only one man and one woman, he or she does not deserve our trust or our vote. Well, that covers the six, Bishop, but I have one left for you that I know you have a passion about. You have referred on your website to the need to unite Americans across racial lines and other backgrounds to support our Constitution and our Judeo-Christian heritage in order that we might restore our God-given destiny as a shining city on a hill. Why do you put so much emphasis on unity when today's culture emphasizes the need for more diversity?
Dean, because Jesus said a house divided against itself cannot stand. And what I see coming from certain political circles in our country is an attempt to divide us and then fundamentally transform the country while Americans fight each other over crumbs from the government table. That's not what the founding fathers envisioned. I believe that what we say in our Pledge of Allegiance is exactly who we are and who we're supposed to be. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's our vision. That's who we need to be. And as a Christian, Dean, I've told audiences all over this country, you know, why in the world would you allow something as superficial as the amount of melanin in a person's skin to determine what we think of them? That is so unchristian. It makes no rational sense whatsoever. But it has nothing to do with the skin. It has to do with the sin in human beings that we just divide from one another. And I just to close this out, I said, you know, when some gang kills a kid because he's wearing the wrong colors, what's the difference between killing somebody or hating somebody over the color of their skin and hating somebody over the color of their clothes? There's really no difference. It's the same irrational, sinful impulse, but Jesus gave us a different answer. He told us, love one another as I have loved you. And that's the message I'm trying to take all across America, Dean. And I think Americans are ready for that message. That's why, as you know, I don't call myself an African-American. I'm not ashamed of my background or heritage, but I'm an American. And I think that's what's going to unite us, when we all think of ourselves as Americans first rather than as some heritage in some continent that maybe we, like for me, for Africa. I've never been there, and my ancestors have been here for at least 300 years. So it doesn't make sense for me to put that first. No, it's time to put America first.
Well, Bishop, you have special credentials for doing that, and I know you often say, I'm not a hyphenated American, I am an American. But that really leads us to something else I think you have a passion for. By the way, our first national motto was E Pluribus Unum, not E Unum Pluribus, or whatever the opposite would be, out of many, one. And that's what you're talking about. But just briefly, I know you have a concern for our law enforcement officers. Does your reference to unity also apply to that?
Absolutely, Dean, because first of all, this idea, and I've said to black audiences particularly, how is it different for a person to conclude that because one black person stole something or committed a crime, that all black people are bad? How is that different than a person concluding that because you think one police officer did something that was wrong, that all police officers are bad? I mean, you're doing to them the very thing that you claim you don't want done to you. Dean, 99% of police officers across this country, and about 1 million law enforcement officers across the country, are doing a tremendously dangerous and difficult job. They're doing it with honor, with dignity, with compassion, but they're getting slandered and vilified as if, and this is a horrible lie that is leading to police being ambushed and killed, that they're out hunting down black men. Well, Dean, I said somewhat tongue-in-cheek from time to time, well, somehow they missed me. Somehow they missed my children. And somehow they missed the members of my church. I mean, it's nonsense. They're doing their job sometimes in inner-city communities that are very, very dangerous. We know in Chicago, 762 murdered this year alone. In the last 8 years in Chicago, nearly 4,000 people murdered, almost as many as were killed in the Americans were killed in the entire Iraq war. And so asking police to go out there and wade through that, and then the moment something happens or they take someone's life, it's racism and the cops are out to get people. To me, it is a crime against our humanity and a crime against our country. These folks out there sacrificing their lives to try to do a good job for us. And so we started something called Stand With Law Enforcement. Stand With Law Enforcement. People can go to our website at standamerica.us and learn more about it, or they can go to Stand With Law Enforcement to learn more about it. I think it's standwithlawenforcement.com, if I'm not mistaken, and learn more about it. But we're sending prayer cards to police officers all over the country. We're sending prayer coins to police officers all over the country. And we're in the process, Dean, of raising money to try to help the families of fallen police officers who we know often have a very, very difficult time when their loved one is killed in the line of duty. I mean, of course they have a difficult time, but I mean they often have a difficult time financially and otherwise, trying to send their children to college, trying to take care of their responsibilities because the person who was often the primary breadwinner has been killed. So we're urging all Americans, stand with our law enforcement officers and let them know that we don't hate them, we're not against them, we pray for them, we love them, and we appreciate the dangerous and difficult job that they do for us.
Well, Bishop, thank you so much. That brings us to a close of our program. Our guest has been Bishop E.W. Jackson talking about a new Christian awakening in America. If you'd like to listen to the program again or share it with your friends, go to our website, valleyfamilyforum.org, and click on the link to Crossroads on the home page. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Dean Welty with engineer Robbie Meadows and our special guest, E.W. Jackson, inviting you to join us again next week at the Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. Until then, have a great week, putting your faith into action.
Rejoice, 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 rej